So let's praise him together right now. No shame.
No shame, no fear, no more.
My place, and you would bear my cross.
weakness and temptation. We believe.
Do you believe it?
Oh, we believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. And He's coming back again. Let the lost be found and the dead be raised. Let the here and now love in vain. Let the church live now. God, we say we believe. We believe.
Let the church.
And we know Your love will never fail. We and He's given us new life. Oh, we believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back. He's coming back again.
In the house tonight, God is so good. Hey, if you believe tonight, why don't you give somebody beside you a high five and say, I believe, and do it with some faith on your face. Say, I believe, I believe. And you may have a seat after doing that. We've got a great night in store for you. And wow, God is good. This shows me that a little bit of snow is not going to keep us from receiving something good, is it? No, we live in Maine. A little bit of snow is not going to keep us. We're so grateful for what's going to happen tonight. Maybe you're here visiting, and we just want to welcome you to Charleston Church. Church family, why don't we welcome all our guests here? If you are visiting us, you're our guest, and we'd love for you to fill out a contact card, which is in the seat back in front of you. Fill that out, and when the offering comes by, put that card right in the offering. That just gives us an opportunity to know that you were here, and an opportunity to reach out to you as well. And somebody say March 7th. I just have a little bit of information for us. I kind of cut you off there. I did that. March 7th. We have a little bit of information, but we want to get right to what we have planned for tonight, so we'll get through it. So somebody say March 7th. There we go. That's going to be our first Wednesday service. It's going to be phenomenal at 7 o'clock. You don't want to miss it. If you came to the last one, you've experienced a taste of what it's going to be. If you have yet to experience and come to our first Wednesday, you need to come March 7th to that one. And then I'm getting you to kind of converse, somebody say March 11th. That's going to be our His and Hers split service. And so the men will be in the fellowship hall, I believe. And then the women, the ladies, will be right here in the main sanctuary, and that's always a great time, and you don't want to miss that. And then finally, March 13th is our senior lunch-in starting at 11 a.m. If you're 55 and over, you don't want to miss that. It's going to be great. And, you know, we have a great group of senior adults here, and I'm refraining from calling people old because people like Randy Margraf, he just doesn't fit that category, but he can come if he wants to. And I don't know if Jenny Lloyd's here tonight, but she's not 55 and older either. But she's still welcome to come to our senior adult lunch. Ushers, if you'd please come on down, that'd be marvelous. That'd be great if you guys could come down. So I got thinking about tonight, and actually looking at all of you, I began to think of the word investment. I believe Pastor even used the word investment this morning at some point in his message. Investment. There is no such thing as a return without an investment. And you all are here tonight because you want to invest in your marriages. And This is one thing I can guarantee. When you invest in something like this, you will reap a return. You're going to get a return on your investment. The kingdom of God is no different. When we invest in the kingdom of God, we can expect a return. But if we don't invest in the kingdom of God, we can expect nothing on a return because we didn't put anything in. But this is a kingdom principle. If you invest in the kingdom of God, you can be guaranteed that you're going to reap a harvest, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. And so I want to encourage you tonight to give, I don't usually use this word very often because, liberally. Invest liberally tonight. Go ahead and do it. Try it. Like I say, don't knock it till you try it, but I'm not going to say that tonight. But invest tonight. Invest in the kingdom. And it's amazing when you invest in the kingdom. It's, you know, in the natural world, we can invest $10 and we'll get a $10 worth of reward for that. But the kingdom's a little different. A little goes a long ways in the kingdom. A little bit more goes even further. And there's a principle of multiplication. And God can take whatever little that we have to give and he can multiply it. And so whatever you have tonight is not little in God's eyes. He'll multiply it and do great things for it. So we're just grateful for all the faithful givers we have in this place. And it's an amazing thing to be part of a group that knows how to give. It helps us all be joyful givers when we're all participating together. So pray with me. Lord, we thank you for tonight. I thank you for every single person that invests in the kingdom. Because I know that their investment will not come back void. But Lord God, their investment, Lord God, will come back with a great return. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So as you're giving, we're going to start transitioning to the real, the fun stuff that we have planned for this evening. We have some people going to be doing games. So once you guys have given, come on up. And with no further ado, put your hands together for the team, which is Kelly and Brian. Pastor PK, as I've been told, Kelly and Brian.
Thank you. Is anybody ready to have some fun tonight? Let me hear you if you're ready to have some fun. Woo! All right, does anybody like to compete at all as couples? Like anybody competitive in the house tonight? No? You're all lying. Somebody's got to be competitive here. Lift up your hand if you like to win. It's okay. Okay. Now, Brian and I, we are both very competitive. So we are just going to run these games. We're not going to play them tonight, okay? So what we are going to do, first of all, is we need some very willing couples to get ready. And we're going to choose one couple from each section. And then you're going to go on over to Rocky and Mariah over there. And they're going to get you ready for a shopping game that we are going to play next. Now, ladies, we know that we all love to shop, but you're going to have to take your husband along for this game, okay? So right now, not all at once, but from each section, we need volunteers, a married couple that will lift up your hand and say, yes, I want to go shopping with my husband right now, like in 2 minutes. So, okay, we're going to start over here. Brian, you're going to pick a couple from both of those sections, and I'm coming over here. All right, don't all wave at me at once. I mean, okay, Tony Hatch and Sherry, come on up. Yes, come on up. And you can go right over to the corner, over there, with Mariah and Rock. Okay, this section. Anybody? Andrea and Scott, I saw your hands. Ooh, nice. You're going to compete against the in-laws. I love it. All right, and over here, who do we have? Oh, did you choose from this section yet? You got them. Okay. All right, so we have four couples over there. One, two, three. Oh, they're coming. Okay, here we go. All right, so while they're getting ready, we need to pick another set of couples for a communication game. Has anyone ever played the game of telephone? Like, you know, back in the school when you had to whisper in their ear?
Loud.
Okay, it's...
Hello.
Are you on?
Hello.
You're off. You're not...
Oh! Hello.
He shut Hello. You down. Hello. Oh, there he is.
You can hear me now. All right.
I was wondering why you weren't talking.
She usually shuts me off anyway, and I think I'm doing really good. And anyway, I'm used to it.
Okay.
I'm not surprised.
Stick to the script.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So we are better together. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Okay. All right. So we're going to come over here, and we're going to pick a couple.
I need a couple over here. Come on.
See, he's talking over me. Okay. I need a couple. Lift up your hand if you want to play.
Come on, guys. Come on.
you're going to be on my team, and I want to beat him. So come on.
No,
who's going to do
let
it?
Him intimidate.
Who's going to do it? I see
you
pointing
go
going
right
on right
up
here.
Get right up
who's going to do
I
it?
I need one from this section.
Come
a couple
on.
From
who,
this section.
I see
come
all
of
them supporting. Okay. Marisha and Dennis.
You guys are all killing
right,
me.
Up. Okay, over here. Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? Come on, Alex and
yes.
Michelle.
Come on.
All right. All right, come on up.
Steven. Hi, Kelly.
All right, and while
right
we're...
Up here, guys.
Okay, so you're on my team, and who's over here? Dennis and Marisha, you're on my team.
You guys are on
woo-hoo, come on. All right, give them all a big oh, hand clap as they're getting ready. Okay, so my team's going to go first. So what we are going to do... Where did our... Oh, here they are. Okay. Check these out.
Are awesome.
Pretty cute, right? Okay, you guys are going to have to put these on. And when I say go, okay, you got to put those in too, okay? But don't put them in yet because I need you to follow instructions. There is a button on here. Do you see that white button? Everybody see it? See it? That button? Got it? When I tell you to, you're going to push that button. And then you're going to hear lots of music in your ears. It's going to prevent you from being able to hear what I'm telling you. So you are going to step up here. Oh, actually, you're going to go way over there. You're number one. Rochelle, you're number two.
Number
Dennis,
three.
You're number three. You're number,
number four.
Four. So Marisha, at the end, it's up to you to come back and tell me what you heard. Okay? So I'm going to tell Alex something.
Nope.
Alex is then going to tell it to Rochelle. Rochelle, you will tell it to Dennis. Dennis will tell it to Marisha. And then Marisha will run right back to me and tell me. And you only have 60 seconds to do this. Okay? Does everybody understand? Thumbs up? All right. Now, the little sentences that I'm going to say come directly from Pastor Ward. From some of the things that he has said in some of his sermons or, you know, just little things about his dear wife. Okay? So that is what we are going to be saying today. So you're going to put that, make sure you have your little earbud things in. Go ahead and put those in right now.
Don't be scared.
And then you guys are next to do this, so we don't have to go over the instructions again.
That's
all right,
cute,
go
Alex.
Ahead. Yeah, put them right in. Put your headphones on, those big old ears. All right.
All right, here we go.
And then you got to make this quick because you only got 60 seconds, okay?
Hurry,
all right,
hurry.
Come on, Dennis.
Let's go,
we don't
Bean.
Have all night. Come on. You good?
He's taking his time.
All right, good. You good? Everybody stand on your heart. Stand right on your heart. Stand right. Oh, he can't hear me already. This is wonderful. Oh, good. Okay, step on your heart.
Step on your heart.
There you go. Okay. All right. Okay, when I say go, we're going to do this, okay? Are you ready?
They're already going.
Okay,
face this way.
Okay, ready? Three. Oh, Marisha. Hello. Three.
Amazing.
It's like
I'm out
of Kids on the Move. Okay, ready? Three, two, one. Hit your button. Hit your button. Okay. All right. I couldn't have done it any better.
Didn't have Jesus, that's something that Pastor would say.
Wow, go. Go!
I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Pastor or Jesus.
Okay, don't quit.
Is that good? Is that it?
Yeah.
That's it, all right.
Run to me, run to me, run. Okay, take him off, take him off.
Pastor and Jesus.
Okay. All right, let's see what it was supposed to say. I couldn't have done any better. She couldn't have done any worse. All right, that wasn't actually too bad. So let's see how many words they got the same. Do we know? Just one? Just one. Oh, it seemed so much better when we were doing it. Okay. All right. You have 1 point that you received.
Good job.
Nice job. Give
Good
it
job.
Up for Kelly's team. Okay. Now
these.
You're going to, you can go over to the side. All right. Come on over next team.
Over it's no, hard, I know.
Hard, it's hard to beat that 1 point. All right. Here we go. One more time. All right. Give it up for Brian's team. Come on. Make some noise. All right, here we go.
There's this. All right. Listen, you guys have seen what needs to be done now, right? All right. We're gonna do way better than that team, right? Where's the, where did the other things go? Did the earplugs. No.
Oh.
No. Oh, they're over here.
I don't know. You.
Hold on. Hold on. No, you're not going to use theirs. Here. Sorry, I stuck them back in the bucket. Those go
I mean,
in first.
Could, we could reuse. I mean,
okay, that goes in first. All right. So again, to go over the rules, you're going to face me. I'm going to tell you something that Pastor Ward says all the time about his wife. Okay? It's all the time. Remember that. All the time. And then you are going to go to your lovely wife and tell her. And then you are going to turn around and tell this fine gentleman, and you have to come back to me. We only have 60 seconds. So make sure you watch really closely and remember, it's something that Pastor Ward says about his wife all the time. Here we go. Ready? You're going to put him in, and there's a button on the back. You're going to hit that as soon as I tell you. You ready? Ready, guys? Here we go. 3, 2, 1, hit the button. And here we go. You got it? In the back, you got it. Okay, here we go. Pastor Ward thinks Darcy.
Hi.
Hi. No? You got nothing?
Big smile.
He's got nothing. He said hi. I think I know the answer to what you're going to tell me.
Hi.
All right. Let's look up here and see what it really was supposed to be. Pastor Ward thinks Darcy is a really good kisser. I don't see hi anywhere in there, unfortunately. So I think the winner
we won.
Goes to Kelly's
Woo!
Team.
Yeah.
Good job, guys. Good job.
Yeah.
Good job, yes.
Here, you get a prize.
Thank
Come
you.
On over.
Thank
all right, give it up for all of our contestants tonight. That's for you guys. And that's for you guys. Thank you so much.
All right,
moving right along. Come on over, couples.
Next
They're
group.
Gonna go on a shopping spree, and as you can tell, they are now tied together. Okay, so all over the stage, contestants, you will see. Okay, you can all just go line up right in front of like Pastor Ward, right over there. Okay, right in front of that front aisle there. Okay, you all. Okay, face me. On the stage, you will see a number of items, okay? I'm not going to tell you where they all are because that's kind of half the fun, okay? So this is what you're going to be shopping for to have a really great date night, okay? So they need to find 5 rolls of toilet paper. Okay,
you're going to... It's a good date night?
Yep, you're going to... Okay. Okay. All right, so you're going to want to find 5 rolls of toilet paper to put in there. And number 2, you're going to have to find 1 pregnancy test.
We're going to leave that
okay.
one.
Okay. Number 3, you need a bottle of mouthwash. Okay. Number 4, you need 1 thing of chapstick. Number 5, a box of toothpaste. Number 6, 1 bag of conversation candy hearts. Number 7, a can of whipped cream. And number 8, 11 Hershey kisses. Okay? I'm not going to explain any of that. Okay?
No, don't.
You heard the list. So I'm just going to give it to you, and I'm going to move right along. So here you go. Here you go. Okay, no. No, you don't have to memorize. But this is going to be the team that can finish the fastest, okay? All right, and then when you're done, I'm going to be standing right here. You have to ring the bell. Okay?
You're done, ring the bell.
Any questions? So listen, like, don't hurt yourselves, okay? Okay, and then we're all going to cheer them on. So you all need to cheer them on because, you know, they're hooked together. So this could get interesting, okay? Are you guys ready? Everybody got it? We got some music to help them? All right, here we go. You guys ready? Okay, in 3, 2, 1, go! Go, 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 go!
Hold on,
no
mother.
Fall. All right, where could it be? It's all over the stage.
Make sure it's only 5. Do you have a list?
Work together, work together. No falling on the stairs. Go, go. All right, how are we doing? How are we doing? The toilet paper is getting lower. Hershey Kisses, you have to have 11 of them. 11. Go, 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 go. Come on, cheer them on. They need some cheerleaders. Woo! Good job, good job.
You got the list. Read the list, Tony. Read the list.
All right, is anybody
done? You
guys
have done this before. No?
We're almost done. Nobody's fallen. This is good. Oh, all right, let's see. Ooh. All right, 5 rolls of toilet paper. 1 pregnancy test. Bottle of mouthwash. Chapstick. Toothpaste. Candy.
Whipped cream.
And you have whipped cream? Where's the whipped cream? Yes, they have it, and they won! Woo! I give it up for Scott and Andrea. Nice job, everybody. Thanks for playing. You guys are all good sports. Oh, the candy hearts. All right. Great job, everybody. Did you give them their prize?
Their prize, yes.
All right, you can go over there and, you know.
Take that for you. Yes. Thank you. Take one roll. Good job. Good job.
All right. Thanks for playing, everybody.
That's a hard act to follow. So I was thinking about some songs that newlyweds might sing. Something like, I need you more than yesterday. Or maybe, you're all I want. No? Nobody knows those songs? I was just trying to think of suggestions for Better Together. So maybe some of you are past that newlywed stage and you're more on the stage of... This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. Or maybe you shot right past that and you're singing, no matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that I win. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that I win. So that was my transition from funny to not funny, I guess. So to keep things serious, on a serious note, I was thinking about, Heather had asked me this year to try to write a song for the Better Together, because we are now the official Better Together singers, they tell us. We have the Better Together tattoo together. Yeah, I'm better, she's together. But I was trying to think of something, okay? I'm trying to get serious, I'm not doing so well. That'll help. I was thinking about how God loves us. And one of the things I thought of that makes the most sense to me is it says, perfect love casts out all fear. So I was thinking about, as a spouse, we need to learn to love our spouses perfectly. Doesn't mean we're perfect people or that we get everything right, but it just simply means that a perfect type of love will cast out fear of not being good enough, cast out fear of not meeting our expectations, cast out fear that someone else is more enticing. We need to find a place in a love that is so perfect that our spouse is not afraid of what's going on in our life. So that's where this song came from. Just that we should love each other perfectly like God loves us, so that our perfect love will cast out all fear of falling short. Amen.
Your word says to Wow. And you said you wrote that. Is that correct, Matt? Great job. Great song. Wow, you need to keep using that talent. You really need to do. One more time, let them know you're so proud of them. Grateful. That's really good. Great talent. Just keep writing, though. Seriously, Matt, just keep writing. That's fantastic. Wow, what a crowd on a snowy night. This is fantastic. It really is. I didn't see you till I've been up here. This is a fantastic group for some weather. Folks, would you come and join me on the platform? If you would help me right now, take out your cell phones and go open up your web browser. If you would do this for me, it's nothing that you're going to need to do right now, but I want you to have that on your web browser. If you would take your phone out and either go to Safari or Google while they're getting things set up, and for you to get the most out of what we're going to do next, you need to have this information here. So if you go to cchurch11a.info on your phone, cchurch11a.info, you're going to want to get it now, so I'm not going to talk about it later. On there is the information to take the, if I could get some volume here or anything, would be great. The information for the five love languages. That's awesome. Thank you, Alfie. For the five love languages. And so that is where that's located for you. If you will go and find that, take it home, fill it out. Later, in fact, maybe they're doing it in the fellowship hall. Where'd my wife go? Are they doing it in the fellowship hall? You weren't listening. So we're talking about communication tonight. And we're just going to ignore that just happened. But after the service is over, everybody's invited to join us in the fellowship hall where there are cookies and hot chocolate. And are they taking photos? Yes. Yes, there's a photo booth there with the different symbols for the love languages. So we want everybody to come. But before you go there, go get your kids first and take them and get them all cookied and sugared up. And it's going to be a fantastic night for you, okay? Wonderful. Would you let all these folks that have helped us so far tonight, let them know we're grateful for what they've done? You guys have mics? No, okay. No, that's fine. You guys have a mic, right? Okay. Wonderful. Well, let me first, are you on? Are those on? Yeah, that's good. So let me introduce you first to the folks that are with us. We're going to talk about the five love languages. To my right are Greg and Denise Bozzelli. You've been married. Go ahead. They teach our family class, Sunday school family class. They've been part of our church for, I don't know. When did you move to Charleston?
2006.
And a phenomenal family, and marriage is their ministry. And you want to be connected to them. Every Sunday morning at 9:30, they have a great class. Right now they're doing finances, going super well. I have two beautiful girls. And so would you welcome Greg and Denise Bozzelli, if you would please.
To your right, this is Justin and Savannah Ladd, and they're just a wonderful, wonderful family. They have three boys. I kind of think they should have one more, but no. Okay, they shouldn't have any more. They have Braden, Ethan, and Eli, and they're just a wonderful family in our church. And we used to actually, not me personally, but we picked her up on the Sunday school bus as a child. So how awesome is that? So we love families. We didn't pick perfect couples to be up here. It's quite a sacrifice when we ask them to, I had to actually call them separately and kind of talk them into it. But they're just a wonderful, wonderful family that we are blessed to have in this church.
Let's move down so I can see them. I can't see. Go that way. I got to see these guys. And those are in the media. If you want to throw this up on the iMag, that'd be fantastic, because you're going to want to see their faces as they answer. It's good, honey. Thank you. Sit. Good girl. Okay. Listen, are you done? All right. Communication, Greg and Denise, I just want to throw a couple questions at you guys. Communication, what is it?
Ladies first.
So on a general level, it's just an exchange of information. That's as general as it gets. Communication is always happening, though, even if we're not intending for it to happen. So if I'm in the kitchen and Greg walks in and we both don't say anything to each other and then he walks out, something has been communicated. So I think it's important in family and especially in marriage to remember communication is always happening, and we are responsible to make sure that it happens effectively, because effective communication is very different from communication, and that we are understood. We really want to make sure we're understood. So if he is on his phone or his mind is elsewhere, I want to make sure I have his attention before I start speaking, because I don't know. It took me years to learn. Like, I would get frustrated because he didn't really hear me, but it was really my fault he didn't hear me, because I'd make sure he was listening before I began to speak. So now I make sure he's listening. And he has this thing where if he's talking and I turn the corner and leave the room, like, I can still hear him. I'm just going to get a glass from the, you know, dining room to put it in the sink. He will stop talking. And I'm like, you can keep talking. I still hear you. And he's like, no, I'm not going to keep talking until you get back. So he needs eye contact to speak with me, which gets frustrating at times, but unless we're on the phone. So communication, just remember, it's always happening, and what kind of communication do you want? Do you want it to be effective? Do you want it to be intimate? Do you want it to be, or just, you know, it's always happening. So,
one of the quotes that I always share is, what I said isn't what you heard, and what you heard isn't what I meant. So try to process that. So when we are actually trying to communicate and we actually say something, so often we think, well, we said what we wanted to communicate, but if the person that we're speaking to doesn't understand what we're trying to say, then the responsibility is on us, it's not on them. And like Denise said, we communicate so often without ever saying anything. And when someone asks us a question and we just give them the response that they think they want to hear, that may not be the real communication that's taking place. And so often when we don't want to communicate, that's when we kind of diverse and move to different things and pretend that we're communicating because we don't want to deal with a particular issue. But communication is always happening.
That's excellent. All right, so how many of you have read the Five Love Languages book? Just raise your hand up high. Okay, and have not? And have not, which is most of the people. Excellent, good. You both needed to be here. Give everybody either a reminder or an introduction to what the five love languages are.
Okay, the five love languages are broke up into five individual categories that are very distinct and different from each other. So the first one would be words of affirmation. Second one would be?
Acts of service.
The third one would be physical touch. Fourth one?
Gifts.
And the last one would be quality time. You want us to expound on those?
What's the first one?
Words of affirmation.
Words of affirmation.
Words of affirmation. Building up the person you love with words, specific words. I really appreciate how you blank, 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 blank. Telling someone you think they're beautiful, they're smart, speaking life over them. Those are words of affirmation. We're taught to do that biblically, to speak life over the people we love. If that is a person's love language, it is imperative. You can do everything in the world for them, but if you're not speaking life over them, if you're not just building them up, affirming them, encouraging them, catching them doing something good and telling them that you've acknowledged that you see that, it can be so detrimental, and that person will not feel loved. I want to take it one step further to say that if there are verbal abuses going on in that person's life, it will affect that person much more deeply than a person whose love language is not words of affirmation. So, you know, a parent telling a child you're no good, you're never going to amount to anything, you know, you're a slob, you're whatever it is, you can kill that person's soul with your words if their love language is words of affirmation. So it's so important to know if that is, you know, your spouse's or your children's. Our parenting is grossly affected, like in a huge way, by knowing the love languages of our children, and it really sets the course for their life. It's amazing.
Just to back up, for those of you that have not read the book, the love language is the manner in which you receive love. So typically what will happen is, you may not even know what your love language is, but when you're trying to express love to someone, that's how you'll do it, because you just assume, if that works for me, then that'll work for that person. and there are tens of thousands, if not millions, of couples that are speaking two different languages their entire dating and married life and can't understand why they're so frustrated. And it's literally like going to a foreign country and you're trying to communicate to someone that doesn't speak the language that you speak. So what do? We speak louder. Any movie, we've all seen it, and they don't understand, so we just yell, "Where is the bathroom?" And the person in China is just like, "Why are you yelling at me?" But they don't understand what we're saying. Crazy American, right? So that's where the problem lies, that we just go to our natural default. We just express love the way we think it should be understood. But to all of my Bible school students, what does it say on the chalkboard on the left-hand side? How's that working for you? Great job. So you're frustrated because you're not getting the response that you want. So the second love language that we talked about would be physical touch. Physical touch can be sex, yes, but it's more than sex. The person that's love language is physical touch is the person that just wants to be in the same proximity. They just want to have their hand held. They just want to be hugged. They just want to be close to. And depending on how you grew up, there are parents that are very physical in affection. And there are other parents that's like unheard of. And for a child that's their love language, you will find that child dating at a very young age, as early as kindergarten. Because they want someone to be close to them. They want someone to be able to just hold hands with. And I know that from experience. The third one.
Quality time. Quality time. Quality time is not just spending time with your spouse or with the people you love. It's making every moment you are with them matter. It's being completely present in that moment. It's turning off electronics. It's being completely focused on their words. It's listening to understand and not listening to respond. That's a really hard thing for a lot of people. We're always thinking about what we're gonna say, you know, how we're gonna respond to what they're telling us. Just making that person feel like they are your priority for that time that you have with them. There is nothing else, like the ceiling could fall down and you're still there and they're still locked eyes with you. And it's so profound to, people say it all the time, we spend so much time together, like we're always together, but they feel like strangers. And that's because the time they're spending together is not quality time.
Number four would be acts of service. Acts of service are any type of physical deed that is things around the house, doing the laundry, cutting the grass, picking up the kids from school, helping out in the kitchen, doing dishes. And if you think about that, that doesn't sound very romantic, that doesn't sound very important. If your spouse, if that's their love language, it's incredible. I'm telling you, and we know this firsthand. And had we not learned this, you would never understand the importance of how that affects your relationship and how you look for those opportunities. And then we guard our hearts that we're not engaging in those things just because we know that they're going to respond a certain way. You just do it because you know that that's going to show them that you really love them.
Yes. Okay, so gifts. I have a daughter whose love language is gifts, and she hates that about herself. She's like, I just feel like so terrible that that's my love language, that you have to buy me things for me to feel loved. But it doesn't have to be expensive things. It's just, it kind of falls a lot in line with acts of service because you are doing something for them. But I could just pick up the littlest, tiniest thing for Rosie at any store. It could be a little chapstick. Just the thought that I was thinking about her while I was not with her is what makes her so happy. And as a child at Christmas, she was like everyone's favorite person to buy presents for, because she would make you feel like Santa Claus. Like she would open, this is what I always wanted, and she would have tears, and it was just genuine thankfulness. And she was like two. I mean, she just milked it so, but it was genuine for her. And we were like, how? Who taught you to do this? We did not teach you to do this. So gifts. I mean, it could be anything. It could be one little flower. It doesn't matter. It's not about the money. It's about the thought that goes into it, and that person feeling like, wow, he or she was thinking about me while they were apart from me. And that's what really is so meaningful to the person whose love language is gifts.
And the one thing I want to say in kind of covering all of that is when you are not communicating in the correct love language, you can feel like you are pouring your heart and soul into your spouse or into your children, and you will get negative response. We work with lots and lots and lots of couples, and we will ask them, did your parents love you as a child? Hardly any ever say yes. Christian homes, godly parents, and it's not because they didn't love them, it's because they didn't understand this concept. And so if you're not speaking the language that they understand, they'll say, well, they definitely loved my brother, or they loved my sister, but they didn't love me. And many times it's because the parents just continually do it the same way. And so they may have been fortunate that that person that they were always giving words of affirmation to, saying you're wonderful and you're great and you're going to go do great things. Well, that person that wanted quality time, you could have just been with them and never said anything to them, and they would feel equal to, if not more loved, than the one that got all the affirmation.
I was just making sure that I'm trying to communicate up here. Justin and Savannah, what are your love languages?
Acts of service.
Words of affirmation.
Okay. How do you show each other? Like, how do you show each other? How I know that we discussed that this has really helped your marriage and helped you. So explain a little bit, and how long maybe have you known, or how did you find out?
Well, it's definitely more natural to give love the way you receive love. So for me, I would try and do for Justin. Like, I'll do this, I'll do that, trying to give him love. But he wasn't hearing it, or he wasn't receiving it until I learned that he needed the words, the affirmation, and it can be about anything small or big that he's doing. He just wants to, hear it.
And one thing I've learned with acts of service is at first I thought I could just do anything, right? So I would come in and see something and be like, oh, I'm going to do that, and it's going to be so great, and she's going to love it. And I learned that that's not always the case, is that, but I just mowed the lawn. That's not what I wanted you to do. Did you take the kids potty? No. So I have learned to be more aware of what, and that's just through observation, just observing her and seeing what's maybe frustrating her or overwhelming her, and making sure I'm putting my effort towards that versus just what I want to put my effort towards, because maybe it's easy for me. It's easy for me to do the dishes, maybe I do that. But then I started to notice it wasn't always resonating the way I thought it would. And then I started paying more attention and kind of experimenting, okay, so why? And then I started to listen to words at the end of the day, that things she had done throughout the day that were frustrating she didn't get to, couldn't do because of our kids. So then I started putting my effort towards those things and saw a big difference, that I was putting it in the right place versus what I wanted to put it towards. And that made a big difference.
So help us understand how to figure that out. Like, they figured out each other's love language. Give us some practical ways, especially, well, for all of us.
This may seem like really deep and profound. Asking is just, we've been married for 24 years, and no matter how much it bothers me, my wife cannot read my mind, at least not all the time. And so it really is helpful.
Must be nice.
It has its benefits. So many times, just asking. Because, for instance, if my wife's love language is acts of service, there are always things that can be done. So the most simplistic thing to do is say, out of all the things that need to be done, what would be the most important to you? Rather than just taking a chance or rolling the dice and hoping that you're going to get the right feedback that you want, versus just communicating. And it doesn't matter whether you're married for 2 months or you're married for 200 years. You need to communicate, and asking is a great way. Now, wives, hint, don't say, well, you need to figure that out, because that'll just frustrate him and then he'll go cut the grass.
So there is a fabulous test online that we can all take. And that will help you if you're really not sure. One of the things we did with our kids, which was actually suggested in the book, when they were very, very young, I mean, it was before we moved to Maine, so they were really tiny, is to ask your child, do you know that mommy loves you? And see what they say. And if they say yes, say how? How do you know that mommy loves you? And I asked Angelina, and she said, well, you tell me all the time. You tell me you love me, and you tell me I'm so smart, and you tell me I'm beautiful. And I'm like, words of affirmation. And then I asked Rosie, do you know mommy and daddy love you? Oh, yes, she said. She was like chubby little cheek. She was so cute. She's still cute, but, you know, she's not chubby anymore. And she said, yes, mommy, yes. And I said, how do you know? And she said, because you buy me so many presents. And she just went on and on listing all the things I had gotten her. She talked about headbands and little barrettes and things I had not even remembered because I'd bought them so long ago. And I mean, it was so obvious. It was so obvious even at such a young age, the things that made them feel loved. Asking your spouse the question, what can I do for you today to make you feel loved? What can I do to make you feel more loved? Checking in with each other. We try to do that pretty often. Are you happy? Are you feeling happy, honey? Okay, that's good. You know, just checking in. And if they're not, find out why. You know, is their love tank empty? We also have to remember, we have basic human needs that need to be met before love languages even come into play. So, you know, we might survey all the men in here, and they might immediately say, well, I don't need to take the test. My love language is physical touch. Like, you know, most men might just say that. And you know, a good amount of women might say that, too. But physical touch and physical intimacy is a human need that God has literally woven into us. He put that in us so that we would desire him and that we would desire our spouses and that so that we would enter into that love relationship, that intimate relationship. So we have to be careful not to assume that our needs, our basic human needs, that we don't just assume those are our love languages. So for example, my love language is acts of service. But if I don't know, get buried in a mine and I'm there for 5 months and, you know, I'm not going to come out saying, did you wash the dishes? I'm going to want him to hold me and touch me and love me. I'm going to, that my desire for those things is going to be greater than my normal desire would be because of life experience and things that happen. So we have our basic human needs and then we have our love languages and then we have our temperaments, which is another better together. We have to talk about those because those are huge. So asking on a daily basis, you know, what can I do for you today to make you feel more loved? And checking in with your kids too, you know, it's a very powerful thing to do.
One of the things that we most often remember in life are not the things that we did well, it's the things we didn't do well. If you ask a professional athlete, tell me about all your MVPs and tell me about all your championships, they sort of remember that, but those epic failures, the game that they missed the shot, the game that they fumbled, the game that they missed a field goal, haunt them. And in Christianity, isn't it true that we don't remember the days that we were living for God and reading and praying and being a witness and being a light? No, the days that haunt us are the days that we did our thing and things didn't go the way we wanted them to. And so a real obvious way to figure out is those times that we hurt our spouse the most and ask ourselves the question, what did we or did we not do? Because the area that relates to the love language is going to be the most sensitive area. So on those days, I'll use us as the example, that if I was home for an entire day and the house needed all kinds of chores to be done, I could have gone out and bought flowers, wrote her a poem, sang her a song, and bought her all kinds of gifts. If she came home that day and the whole house was still upside down, she would be really upset and she would feel unloved, as crazy as that sounds. Good.
We're going to open up some questions. So if you would get ready, maybe if you have some questions that maybe you want to know about marriage. So we're just think about that as we ask a couple more questions. But Justin and Savannah, most people maybe don't know your story. And even though like marriage has its really high times, really great times, right? You know, we don't want to scare people that aren't married. I mean, I love it, right? Hello. somebody. Marriage is wonderful. But there are times that we go through difficult things. And maybe it's not even to do with our marriage, just life. And we were talking that one of the things that we noticed that when you were traveling to Boston back and forth with your son, and he has medical issues and your job situations and just different trials that everybody here has been through or part have been through, how do you keep that connection and how do you stay together, right, in those hard times? How do you do that?
I mean, the biggest thing is that we rely on each other. Nobody knows what we're going through other than the other person. Nobody, as close as they are to us, they cannot understand everything that we go through. So, I mean, we just turn to each other for that.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that, I mean, it's hard to say there was an alternative because we were fortunate enough to have God to rely on, and it felt like that was the glue, you know, and that we could always share that. And when we went through some very hard times with our son, one of the most difficult things was making decisions because he would have in front of him several treatment options. And people would say, what do you want to do? And we'd look at the doctors and be like, well, we don't have the, you know, $100,000 degree to say what to do. And that's really where we turned to prayer and each other and talked through it and just said, does this feel right? You know, when we pray about it, does it feel like God's leading us in that direction? And there were some very clear paths that doctors were pushing us down that we just did not feel. And we, you know, you can't always articulate. You know, there's your limbic system in your brain, and you just know when something's not right. And I think when we could look at each other, know that we've prayed about it, know that we agree that this isn't the right thing, we never look back. And it's tough because sometimes you want to doubt, should we have done that? Like, would that have been the right choice? And we could always go back to our faith and say, no, we know the Holy Spirit was not leading us in that direction. We know, no matter where we're at right now, that this is where part of our journey, because it is a step. You know, you don't get to the end in just one choice. So for us, it's always been driving us together to know that we're making these choices together. We never, and there were times when we'd have a difference of opinion, and it was important that we never made a full decision until we were both on board. And sometimes that said we have to wait. We're not there yet. And it's tough because you get under pressure. You got to make that choice. You got to make that decision. And we said, we're not there. We're not going to make it until we both could come to terms that, all right, we feel like this is the right direction. We feel like this is where God's leading us. And then at that point, it really draws you closer together when you support each other 100% for the next step of your journey.
Did you ever feel any, the pressure that was on you, how did you sustain the right communication? Because sometimes people go through stuff, they retreat, they go back to themselves. Did you ever feel any pressure in your communication? Talk about that. Help us.
I think it was early on. We were going to Portland at first, back and forth a lot. We had some issues with some doctors up here. And there was one day where we just made the decision that no matter what it took, financially, pressure on job, on family, that we were going to do what we thought was right, no matter the consequence. And it felt like when we made that choice, the weight lifted. And we just said, we don't know what it's going to be like. We don't know how hard the journey is going to be. But when we made the choice together to say, no matter what it is, we'll do it together. No matter what it is, we'll be there for each other. And we'll get through, no matter how hard it ends up being. And it's funny, when you make that decision, and it's a conscious choice, we made it together. Once you've made that, everything else seems to get a little bit easier, even though it's very difficult and the weight's still there. When you agree that we're going to do this together and we're going to go through no matter how hard it is, and it never end up really being as hard as you think it is because you have church family, because you have God. But sometimes when you're looking at it, you think it's always going to be worse. And then you rely on people around you in your faith, and it really ends up being okay.
What he just said, if we could all apply to our marriages, no matter what, we're in this together, no matter the cost, if we both believe, and that's what our commitment, that's why we exchange vows, that's why we have witnesses, and when we say no matter what, it's no matter what, and when you're on that same page together, There's no mountain that's too high that you can't climb. There's no valley that's too deep that you're not going to be able to walk out of if you do it together. But the second we look outside of our covenant and we begin to look at ourselves, then we start singing Janet Jackson songs. What have you done for me lately? And then it goes very downhill from there. All the young people are like, who?
That's all right. Pastor Vinny, if you just grab one of their mics, you guys can share. We don't want you to not talk. But if you just think about your question, and you could, if you would say who the question is geared for. Let me ask you, Greg and Denise, real quick while somebody's thinking of a good question. And the question really, we wish it would be about communication, because that's what we're talking about tonight. Let's say somebody's here and they're like, our communication train is off the track. They're just not communicating. They're just having a standoff. One thing. What's one thing that they need to start doing now to change that?
It's ownership. It's ownership to yourself. So often, whenever we work with couples that are struggling and they're not communicating and they're fighting and they're just not on the same page, it's I'll sit down with the man and say, so do me a favor. I give him a piece of paper and a pen, and I say, I want you to write down for me every single thing that your wife does that drives you crazy. And fail not, almost 99 out of 100 times, they'll say, I'm going to need more paper. It's the truth. Or they'll look at the pen and say, I don't think there's enough ink in here. And they will begin to write. And they will begin to list 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 things, flip the page over, and continue to write without hesitating. And then I'll say, okay, and I'll look at that, and I'll read it, and I'll see all these things, and I say, that's really interesting. And then I take out another piece of paper, and I say, now I want you to write down all the things that you do that drive your wife crazy. And consistently every time, they will write one, sometimes two, at most three things. And then they'll look at me like they're totally stumped. And all that tells me is that all of their focus is on what their spouse is or isn't doing, and they're not taking any responsibility for their own. And so when I make that conscious decision that I'm not just going to speak, but I'm going to speak to be understood, I'm going to make sure that there's understanding. Understanding is one of the most powerful words in the English language, because that means that proper communication took place. And that the response that I get is going to be the response that at least you understood what I was asking. And so instead of blaming all the other people, it's I'm going to take ownership to that I'm going to learn her love language. I'm going to make sure that we're communicating properly. I'm going to ask the hard questions. And most of all, I'm going to say, Lord, I need help to get through this so we can begin to start building a new bridge.
And just one more before we go public. So let's say Denise... I guess it doesn't matter. The wife is looking at her. Blind spots are terrible, right?
Yes.
Blind spots in communication. So the guy's thinking, I don't even need to hear this tonight. I'm fine. And the wife is like, finally. No, I'm looking the crowd over. Okay? Or the wife's sitting there thinking, I don't need to hear this. And the husband's like, finally. What do you say to the person? Not, which person am I talking about? What does the person who's married to the one who's got the blind spot, like they think they're doing great, if you're the other person, what do? Punch them? Stab them?
I think, you know, on the day we stand before the Lord, we're only responsible for our own behaviors. If we are continually reactive, like, well, if he loves me right, then I'll love him right, and vice versa, you'll never get anywhere. So, you know, to that person, I'd say, just be the bigger person. Find out what your spouse's love language is. Love him to death. You know, just love him until you can't love him anymore. Just love him, love him, love him. It's amazing what happens when sacrificial love, when we love sacrificially, we are loving most like Jesus Christ. And what did that love do to your heart? It turned mine around. It made me want to follow him for the rest of my life. It overtook me. And that's what loving your spouse that way does. Sacrificially, when you don't feel like they deserve it, when they're not doing it back for you, it doesn't matter. It's just something profound happens. And I believe it. It's because we're literally reflecting how God loves when we love that way. So that's what I would say. Don't worry about your spouse right now as far as what they're giving you. Just be responsible for your behavior, your actions, your attitudes as a wife or as a husband. And I can almost guarantee you that you're going to see a shift. You're going to see a change. And even if you think right now, but our marriage is good, you know, like, don't you want it to be better? I mean, it can always be better. And that's all this is. If someone went to my husband at the beginning of our marriage and said, hey, I have this little book that can help you figure out your wife and, like, prevent nagging and prevent just so you can love her, and it's like an instruction book, and it's free. Do you want it? I would hope he would say, absolutely, I'll take it. That's what this is. I mean, it's not the answer to all things like the Bible, but it's pretty darn close. It's really, really very profound, and it's so simple, but it absolutely applies to everyone, to every parent, to every spouse. It helps you in the workplace. It helps you with your parents. It helps you with your friends. When you learn how to love people, it's you can just go so far. It's amazing.
And Pastor, there's two techniques that I think are very basic that can help you. One is confirm your understanding. What I'm hearing you say is, because often the time the person's like, no, that's not what I'm saying. Okay, great. So, you know, have them tell you again. Okay, so now what I hear you saying is, no, it's not. So I think that's a very basic technique when you're listening to really understand, is to say back to the person when they're done, okay, so what you're telling me is I maybe could do better at this. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Okay, and then you get moving forward. Another very basic technique is, on a scale of 0 to 10, if you had to rate me as a husband, what would it be? And it's a safe exercise because the person can say, oh, 9. No one ever gives you a 10. You know, it's, you know, oh, it's an 8. But the key is the next question. Okay, so for me to get a 10, what would I need to do? And it's a really great exercise because it lets both people stay safe, right? Because I'm not going to give you 10, but I give you 9. But for you as the receiver, you can say, but there's still something left, and what is that? And whether you're really a 4, and she's saying you're a 9, at least it's giving you that thing. You know, she's telling you, what is that thing that you could do to be better? So those are two practical techniques.
That's really good. Excellent, excellent. Okay, let's have a few questions. And because of time, it's not really commentary, it's questions. Okay? All right, there's a question over there from a young single Jew.
This is for anyone who wants to answer it. I was wondering, how fluent can we hope to get in that other person's love language?
Never fluent enough. Always keep working. Yeah. But you'll notice those improvements, and things will get easier. But, you know, we're so complex. And we change. Our love languages shift a little bit. Even though you may have a primary, my secondary is physical touch. So some days, my secondary becomes more like my primary, depending on what's going on. You know, Denise was saying about your situation and your context might influence that love language a little differently. So just paying attention and knowing that a love language is impacting that individual and being open to that, you always just are getting better. And ask, how am I doing lately?
Yeah, I think, and that's that checking in thing. It's just so great. It's so great to do that. I think you can be more fluent in your spouse's love language than even, like, you. I think you can know about more about the way they perceive love than they do. I've seen that a bunch of times with my husband where he'll do something for me that if he had asked me, I wouldn't have even thought of it. But it makes me feel so profoundly loved that I'm like, oh my word, he gets me. Like, it's just such a great feeling. I think on some days it's that way, like you never really feel like you're there. And then on other days, I don't know, it just clicks and you just know. And once you see those openings, you gotta like run through them like gangbusters. Like, just do everything you can in those moments to really utilize that love. Did you wanna say something? Okay.
The fact that you asked that question has put you ahead of almost everyone because you're cognizant of the fact that this is going to require me to do something to make sure that I understand, to make sure that I'm speaking that language versus, well, this is just the way I do it and either it works or it doesn't.
I forgot what my question was going to be. No, I was going to ask, Of the different languages, you said that you could have a primary and a secondary. And when you're dealing with people, is it, and you try to study them, people you work with or live with, can you just give us a little insight on what's the good way to analyze somebody and figure out what makes them tick?
I actually do this at work a lot, and I kind of freak some people out because I'll talk to them about it, and I'll say, I know what your love language is, or I think I know, and I'll share with them, and I say, well, I noticed I did this the other day, and it really meant something to you, and it really is experimentation. If you're not doing the test will give you a very, very clear guidance, both what your primary and secondary is. Everyone has a different kind of unique profile of all the love language. To some degree, they all affect you to some extent. For people at work who I'm not going to ask to take the test, I just experiment. And when things don't work, I try the other, right? So there's only five, so I'm getting there every day. I try something else. and then when I get some positive affirmation back, that's when I start then doing it more. And I start seeing that positive. And, you know, for those people that you recognize are okay with that conversation, I've actually promoted that book to quite a few non-Christians in the workplace. And they've come back with some really good feedback, especially with their kids. I talk about it with our kids a lot because that's really important to me, that even though they're still young, I don't want to wait and then be, you know, trying to catch up. So I talk to a lot of people when they're telling me about their kids, and I'm like, well, what do you think their love language is? And they're like, a love language, you know? And so it really opens a door. And it's a great way to share your Christian faith, too, as to where this comes from and why it's important to people.
In the business and in the professional world, something that I learned many, many years ago that is just so powerful is that we need to separate the person from who they are to what they do. And I have subcontractors that work for me, and I will go out of my way to say, I appreciate you, and I appreciate what you did for me, and then describe what they did for me, because our value is not in what we do. Our value is in who we are. And when people understand that, you know what, you may have totally botched up that job, but I still appreciate you. I'm not thrilled how that went, but I'm not going to equate you and your value to what you do or don't do. And we have to be very, very, very careful that we don't do that in our parenting. Because when our kids do something well, we're all words of affirmation. You're so great. You're so wonderful. But when they do something wrong, all of a sudden, you know, we pull away. So they think, well, I'm a good boy or I'm a good girl because I did good things. But when I do bad things, now I'm a bad girl or I'm a bad boy.
There is another book, too, The Five Love Languages of Your Children. Mm-hmm. So if you're trying to learn specifically for your children, there is another separate book.
We also have to be very careful. The other side of this is what happens when our spouse's love tank is empty. The book talks about that. So, you know, we've worked with couples. I speak to women where they're in a situation right now where there's an affair happening. And she'll say, well, you know, we have, I don't know how many children in the room. We have sex a few times a week, and there isn't anything, you know, I'm not neglecting him. I don't understand why this happened. And, you know, one of the questions I ask is, have you guys ever taken, you know, the love language test and come to find out, you know, that man's love language was words of affirmation, and he's getting a ton of that from someone else, and he's not getting that at all at home. And, you know, I remember the last time we had a better together, we made a comment about men who stray because they're not getting that attention at home. And I actually got some hate mail afterwards because there were women that, and I totally understand, women saying, I'm here, I want to be with my husband in that way, but he's not interested. So he wants it, but he just wants it with someone else. And so you have to ask yourself, why? You know, what is it that you're not providing for this man that someone else is? Because one thing that I say all the time is, I would rather die, like hell will freeze over before any woman will ever give my husband something that only my shoes are meant to fill. Like, that's just never happening. So, it's just not. So, you know, so it's like, you know, just making sure, finding out what their love language is, making sure their love tanks are full and overflowing in Jesus' name.
There shall be no hate mail going to these people. These are volunteers, so if you got any hate, keep it to yourself, you loser. For real. No, for real. All right? In Jesus' name. One more question. No, that's ridiculous. I'm glad you told me that. I'm going to get over it in a minute. I think we got a question in the back. Thank you.
Hey there. Question for anybody. Are there any specific rituals or daily practices or habits that any of you have found helpful or grounding or go-tos that may be helpful for anybody out here to either find their own or try and replicate?
It's a great question, and it's very simple. Pray, read your word, and ask God the tough questions about the condition of your own heart. Because when I start there, then I'm prepared to do whatever I need to do. And for all of us, sometimes life doesn't allow our morning routine or our devotion to be the way they want it to be. Your spouse will know, your children will know, your coworkers will know. It's something that we have the opportunity, and if it matters, and if it's that important to us, then we do that. The further we get away from our vertical relationship with God, the worse our horizontal relationships get.
Yeah, and one thing I would just add is just be careful in your routines, because maybe a routine is keeping you stuck into moving forward. But I think the one thing that is most important is, and Pastor talked about this today when he preached, don't beat yourself up about yesterday or even this morning. You've got right now and you've got tomorrow, and tomorrow can be better than today. And I think one of the things that's really helped us is not beating each other up about what happened yesterday or the day before, the week before, the month before. It's, okay, where are we starting today? Amen. And how can we get better every day together? And that really, I mean, it alleviates a lot of burden. And then you find those things. What could we do better in a routine to help us have a better day today than we did yesterday? And I think reflection is really important. We're such a distracted society right now. There's so much grabbing for our attention. And as a couple, one of the most important things that we do to support each other is give each other permission to say no. People will come to Savannah and ask her to do things or ask me to do things. And we really support each other if we feel overwhelmed and there's just too much for our family. And sometimes it feels like we should be doing more because that's what society wants us to do and puts pressure on us to do more. But then we realize, you know, our oldest son is quality time. And we feel like we're chasing so much that we're missing some of that love connection. So it's really important when you reflect together, is, are we doing too much? Are we stretching ourselves too thin? And what's really important for our family to do together?
I think another really big thing, and this will answer your question, but I think it will help anybody. Before we got married, we had a pretty short engagement. It was important to us to keep our relationship pure and wait for marriage. And there was just this incredible pursuit going on. You know, he wanted to be with me. He wanted me. It was like, I just felt like this man, like no one ever loved me like this man. No one will ever love me like this man. And then as soon as we got married, the pursuit stopped. And that happens. And it happens in Christian marriages. It happens in regular marriages. I would just encourage the men and the women, never let the pursuit stop. And how do you do that? Well, we're already married. Like, we go on dates once a week, but how else can we do that? Knowing their love language is a huge way that you can do that, because, you know, like, you can put little notes in their lunchboxes. You can send them sweet text messages. You can, you know, hit, what's it called? Physical touch. Physical touch is my husband's love language. And, you know, even when he's walking past me, you know, I'll just, like, give him a pat or, you know, grab his bicep or just, you know, mess his hair. He doesn't have hair to mess, but you know what I mean? Like, I'll, you know, I just touch him. Like, it doesn't have to be, you know, an intimate thing. It's just I get my hands on him so he knows I love him, and, you know, and yeah, I do that, you know, it's a good thing. And so finding out how they feel loved and pursue. Don't ever let that stop. That's a great daily thing. Like, how can I pursue the one I love today? What can I do so that by at the end of the day they feel like, wow, like, you know, my wife really digs me. And so it's a good thing.
And I think another thing, I love that you asked this question, and you have one child and one on the way, right? Yes? I think we can become so busy And it's hard sometimes to know what they really, really want, right? Is anybody else? Yes. Sometimes we're like, we're so obvious, but we're actually, I guess, not. I don't know. So that's the important part. Now, my love language is 100% opposite than his. I just want you to, because like I keep touching him, because I'm like physical touch, not him. I mean, not that he doesn't like physical touch, but anyway, that's a whole nother message. But so what I, you know, naturally I love by touching and by words, because I love all of them. I want all of them. I can't just pick two. I have two, but I think I like all of them. Yes, I do. So I think that sometimes it's hard, and I think with little kids, or maybe you're at the place where your children are leaving, there are so many different seasons of marriage. There are just so many different seasons. But in every season, where he's supposed to know that I love him more than anything, that he is the most important thing to me, even above my children. Now, we might get a little hate mail on that. But eventually, the children are going to leave me. Can you even believe it? So he's like, I'm like, so I need to. He's not shooting me, he's hunting. That's what he's saying. I just want to let all of you know. So we need to make sure through every season that we're connected. You know, Satan can get into a house if they separate the husband and wife. Right. It will affect my children. It will affect everything I do. That's why it's so important to keep our heart right with God and our heart right together. So, good word? Thank you. Next question.
One more. Just one more. Way in the back.
Sorry, I didn't see this one. I hope I'm asking this question for more people, and this is not my situation, but Denise mentioned being buried in a mine for 5 months. If you're buried in a mine for 5 months, there must be a feeling of hopelessness. You know, and sometimes when you're in the process or wanting to present love languages or present gifts or present time, there's a feeling of hopelessness. How do you overcome that?
I think hopelessness comes when you've been doing the same thing, trying the same things over and over and not seeing a result and just feeling like nothing's ever going to change. You feel like you've poured out your whole marriage and you've gotten nothing in return, and the only reason you're married is because God hates divorce. I mean, we can't tell you how many people we come across that are in that situation. I think until you actually see the Lord break through darkness in your life and you've tasted that, even if it's just a glimmer of light, to just kind of grab onto it and say, okay, it's not completely hopeless. There is hope. What is so awesome about the Lord, and we say this all the time, he redeems everything. Everything you lay at his feet. I don't care what kind of a mess you've made. I don't care how many mistakes you've made. I don't care how far you've gone, how long you've been married. You might have a laundry list of things that you wish you could have done differently. If you lay them at Jesus' feet, it's awesome what he does. Because not only does he forgive, but he takes those things that the Bible calls ashes and he gives us beauty in return. He takes what the enemy stole from us and he restores it back to us, but it's multiplied back when he restores it. It's not too late. If you can write that down on some sticky notes and put them all over your house and stick one on your forehead that says, it's never too late. Your kids might be adults and not feel loved by you. If there's still breath in their lungs and there's still breath in yours, it's not too late. You might be married 20, 30, 40 years and just feel miserable. It's not too late. Like ever, 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 ever. It's not too late. And, you know, our hope, my hope, when I get to those places, always comes from the Lord. It has to. The Bible talks about how we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord, like David did. Like, we literally have to sometimes talk ourselves out of hopelessness. Because we know the truth. The truth is that there's nothing impossible with God. We may look at a situation that looks like dry, dead bones. Well, we all know what God can do with those. So we just have to remember what truth is and not let the heaviness of our situation blind us to the fact that we still serve a God of miracles. We still serve a God who loves to make all things new. We still serve a God who loves to show off and be the awesome God that he is. And sometimes all we have to do is make room for him to do that. Just open the door and say, God, I thank you. And again, I say this all the time, don't pray your problems. Pray the solution you want to see. Come into agreement with the maker of the heavens and the earth that spoke it all into existence as you're made in his image. Speak, God, I thank you that you're restoring my marriage. I thank you that you're restoring, a deep, deep love between my husband and I. I thank you that you're moving us towards forgiveness and reconciliation. You might not see that, but thank him that that's what he's doing. Come into agreement with his plan for your marriage and just watch the miracle unfold.
That's awesome. I just want to pray for a minute. If you're with your spouse, just go ahead and get him by the hand. And Justin, I want you to just pray for the men. And Savannah, would you pray for the ladies? And what can happen tonight is that something that's badly broken can start getting healed. What can happen tonight is something that's okay can start the process of being really good. And something tonight that's really good can get on the process of becoming really great. And something that's already really great can have longevity to it, right? Like at whatever level that is. And so husbands and wives, if you would, let's really let the Holy Spirit, and then we'll be done. We're going to go fellowship and have time together. But let's really pray, all of us, parents, grandparents, single folks. Justin, would you pray that way? And then Savannah, if you would. Let's pray together.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for our significant others, our wives. Lord, our wives are a gift to us as men. We should cherish them every day. All that they've brought to our life, you complete our being by bringing us together. Our union is sanctified under your holiness, Lord. You want us to be successful. You want us to grow. You want us to support one another through hard times, Lord. You have given us the model of love through your sacrifice, through your death on the cross. You've told us how we should love our spouse and how we should love our wife, that we should lay down our lives, that we should protect them against all odds, against all things that come into their life. Lord, that we should grow closer together in our love and that we should glorify you in our example to the world. We thank you, Lord, for our gift of our wives. Yes. And we honor them in your name every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you so much for our husbands. You, before we were even born, you had somebody picked out for us who was perfect to complete us, Lord. And we just pray that we do what we can to lift them up, to let them be the head of the household, to let them be the man of God they are. Lord Jesus, we just, we're just very thankful for them and for you. And we just pray that we can do anything to support them. Lord Jesus, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Justin and Savannah, really. These guys have an incredible story. They're better people than you realize, and they're incredible people. And then Greg and Denise, as always, thank you. Just your ministry here so much. Every Sunday at 9:30, we'll do this again. What was the other topic that you talked about? Temperaments, the way we're wired, different. Yeah, that'd be a good one. should talk about that. Into that. All right. And so on, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, go to cchurch11a.info. That test is online and it's right there. Get the book, Five Love Languages, And there's a photo booth out in the fellowship hall. Get some pictures taken. Have some fun. And I think it's time to get done. Let's stand together.